from Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers. It's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698, or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. If you know your history of computing, then you're probably already familiar with the name ENIAC. It was an acronym for Electronic Numerical Integrator and Computer, and is considered to be the first modern computer of the age. It was built for the U.S. government during World War II, and its function was to calculate firing tables for artillery on the battlefield. ENIAC was made with over 19,000 vacuum tubes, 1,500 relays, 10,000 capacitors, and 70,000 resistors. In contrast to our computers today, ENIAC was a monster. It spanned 680 square feet and weighed over 30 tons. The computer was operated by six programmers, known in those days as clerks. These were experienced mathematicians who worked out programs on paper and input them into the machine by physically rewiring the computer. They were the first real computer programmers, and each was a pioneer in their field. You may already know all of these facts about ENIAC, but there is one thing that you may not know about the ENIAC project. Something that is not as well publicized and known, yet it is something of important historical significance. The specialists who programmed ENIAC were more than just pioneers. They were all women. Given the dearth of computer professionals in that day, these women likely comprised the majority of programmers in the field. But they were not given due credit for their work. In fact, the contributions these six women made were not publicly celebrated until 50 years later, when two of them were inducted into the Women in Technology International Hall of Fame. During the last 60 years, the computer industry was considered a field for males. Recently, however, more women have entered the world of IT, not as clerks, but as full-service providers. This week, we are going to meet some of these female providers and find out what it's like to work in an industry dominated by males. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. Apple is feeling the heat from consumers after two lawsuits were filed October 5th, accusing the company of monopolistic practices. The lawsuits, one filed in a California state court and the other in a federal court, alleged that Apple restricts choice in the use of the iPhone and forces consumers to use a specific carrier, namely AT&T, creating a monopoly on service for the phone. The iPhone, originally locked into AT&T service, was successfully hacked shortly after its release, allowing consumers to choose other carriers instead of being forced to pay the premium rates charged by AT&T. In retaliation, Apple threatened to push a firmware update to the iPhone in September, disabling the hacks and essentially rendering the phone useless. A week later, it did. The intended result was to keep consumers in line. It only made them angry. Now they are lashing out at Apple and AT&T, accusing both companies of illegal monopolistic practices by preventing users from choosing their own carrier. Similar complaints have been lodged by media in the UK, where Apple has partnered exclusively with a company called O2. The position taken by Apple to lock the iPhone down and insist on proprietary service is not only arrogant and insulting to users, but it's ironic, given Steve Jobs' recent stand against another unpopular locking mechanism, digital rights management. Wasn't it Jobs who once railed against DRM? While perusing the net looking for items related to this story, I found a blog dated February 9, 2007, with this statement. Imagine a world where every online store sells DRM-free music encoded in open, licensable formats. In such a world, any player can play music purchased from any store, and any store can sell music which is playable on all players. This is clearly the best alternative for consumers, and Apple would embrace it in a heartbeat. The author of these words was quite insightful and quite correct. The author was Steve Jobs. And that's the news in the Force Field.
Still find yourself guessing about a PC's problems? Are you still swapping components? With PC Doctor Service Center 6, you can fix more computers in less time. Service Center 6 is a complete PC diagnostic kit for break-fix repair technicians, system builders, and small-scale manufacturers. Call 1-866-BUY-PCDR today and mention the Force Field podcast to get $49 off. For the last 14 years, PC Doctor has fine-tuned its diagnostics for four of the five top global PC manufacturers who now ship our diagnostics on 20 million PCs a year. From that experience, we have developed Service Center 6, an industry-leading professional offering with all the hardware and software necessary to fix a Windows or non-Windows PC. With Service Center 6, you will see an improvement in your business. Try us today with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-866-BUY-PCDR today, and until November 15th, mention the Force Field podcast to take an extra $49 off.
You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow providers. When you hear the term computer technician, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Is it the image of a balding, middle-aged guy with thick glasses holding a soldering iron? Or a nerdy young guy repairing PCs in his parents' garage? Geeks in goofy get-ups, nerds with neckties, and techs with tacky pocket protectors are all stereotypes of the modern computer tech. But one thing is consistent with all of these images. They're all guys. The geek, the nerd, and the IT guru is almost always referred to as either the computer guy or the IT guy. But that is beginning to change. Slowly but surely, the girls are getting into the game. What was once considered a guy thing is going unisex, and the ladies are proving themselves to be more than capable. The number of women in the IT industry is growing, and within a few more years, more likely than not, the next technician who shows up at the customer's door may not be a man, but a woman. This week, we're going to talk to two providers and find out what it's like to work as a female tech in an industry that is dominated by men. Do they have a difficult time working alongside their male counterparts? Or is it business as usual? Are their experiences in the field unique to their gender? Or are they just like one of the guys? We'll find out what it's like to be a female professional in a male-dominated industry as we sit down and talk with the women of IT. And we're speaking to Renee. Renee, welcome to the Force Field.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Great. Tell us a little about your business.
Oh, it's just a real small break, fix, install right now. It's trying to work my way up. I'm just getting started, and it's kind of slow, but the economy in this area is real slow, and it's slowing down, so I would imagine I'm going to be real slow here for a little bit and hopefully pick up soon.
Now, what area of the country are you in?
I am in northwest Ohio. I'm about 10 miles from the Michigan line. I'm out an hour south of Detroit.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of your business, by the way?
It's Common Country Computers. I named it after the high school mascot, the high school that I graduated from.
Oh, what high school was that?
Genoa.
Genoa?
High school. So it's Genoa Comet, so it's kind of country, and it's out in the country, so.
Mm-hmm. What was your inspiration to get into the computer business?
Actually, I worked for a corporate company. I think I've named it several times on the forums, and I really don't want to name it on the podcast. And we were making money hand over foot until April of 05, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. They cut our wages to $7.15 an hour, plus a $7 call incentive.
Yeah.
With the small mileage rate, and it just wasn't panning out. And people just told me, just go on your own, you make more money, and I do.
You were a W-2, you were an employee.
Yeah, I was yep.
How long were you doing that?
For 2 years, and yeah, it was 2 years.
Mm-hmm. How'd you become interested in computers?
I graduated in 82 in the field. And then in 98, I got my associate's degree in computer business systems.
Oh. You know, it's interesting because this is primarily a field that has been traditionally dominated by males. And to see more women getting into the field, I think is great. What is it like working in a field that is dominated by males?
Well, actually, the competition's a little tougher. You get a lot of surprise. And they're also glad to see a woman now working in the field. It's just not a male area anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that all the time. A lot of times they're glad to see me rather than to see a male on site.
Do you think they really treat you any differently than they would a male provider once they see that you're there and once you're on site?
No. They're just glad I can do the job and, you know, get it done in the same way as a male would.
Well, now, how do the other providers relate to you? How do other male technicians react to having a female as either a colleague or a competitor? Do you find yourself treated differently as a female technician among other technicians?
As a W-2, in a way, the full-time guy,
mm-hmm.
he treated me differently. I was talked down to by him, but he talked down to everybody. But he targeted me at the same time.
Did you feel that it was personal in any way, just because you were a female, or did you feel like it was a general condescending attitude among him and some others just because, well...
Yeah, no, it was just him. He just thought he was superior to everyone else, but when he needed bailed out, he called me to bail him out.
Mm-hmm.
If he was on site somewhere and he got stuck.
Do you think it's easier or more difficult to work in this field as a female in general? Are there concerns, difficulties, or risks involved in this business that maybe puts the female tech at a disadvantage as opposed to a male tech?
Mm. Well, since it's a male-dominated field, you have to prove yourself a little more.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a little more pushy. I don't want to say pushy, but you got to be more competitive. You got to keep on top of it.
A little more assertive then, I guess.
Yeah.
I have to show the confidence and that you can't really be kicked around or you can't be talked down to, that you're just as capable.
Right.
Do you run into that very much at all?
Oh, there's one on Armed Force that keeps pretty good tabs on me. And he's local in my mm-hmm. area, but he does keep tabs on me.
Now, do you find yourself able to effectively compete with the other IT professionals who are male?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any other competitors that are female in your area?
In my area, not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
They've pretty much all gone to W-2s.
What about other colleagues that maybe you're not within your area? Do you ever collaborate with other female techs and swap ideas, stories?
No, I don't, actually. Actually, if I had to, I would have to collaborate with another female tech because I just don't. My idea are somewhat different than a traditional female's ideas are. My line of thinking leans more towards the male side. You don't understand what I'm not a traditional person. I think outside of the box.
More of the tomboyish type.
Yeah.
No, that's not unusual. That's not unusual. What do you think the future will be like for the ladies in IT? Do you think there will be more or fewer getting into the industry in the future? Do you think that interest could pick up or wane in the next few years?
It's going to pick up with the younger generation being brought up on computers.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be second nature. It probably is already second nature to them, so they're going to probably follow through with it.
Do you think you might find yourself someday at one point promoting that yourself, maybe helping to encourage some of these young ladies to get into the field?
Yeah. If you go about it the right way, you can make a go of it, you know, such as doing your homework before you go into it, you know, do your market research in, on your area. But sure, there's room for more women.
Now, what about your own future with your business? Where do you see that taking you in the next 3, 4, or 5 years?
Hopefully to retirement. I have a new goal. I want to be retired early.
Renee, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. I wish you the best of luck and the best in your business in the coming years. This industry needs more female providers, technicians, IT professionals. I think that would only serve to boost the general view and quality of providers in the industry.
Right.
Thanks again. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
And Cappy's with us on the Force Field. Cappy, welcome to the Force Field.
Thanks for having me.
Cappy, first of all, tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, my business is fairly new. It's Doc Loves Computer Repairing Services, and so far it's a one-woman show. Most of my work right now is coming through on Force, but it's slowly shifting, and I'm gaining more and more of my own clients as I do more marketing for myself.
What was your inspiration to get into the computer business?
I've always been kind of mechanically inclined. My father's a mechanic, and I've always liked trying to figure things out, how they work, how to fix them when they're broken, and started getting into computers, you know, playing games with my friends, and then later was taking online courses, and whenever I had a computer problem, I always had to call tech support for help.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how those calls can sometimes
go. Yes, we do.
So, yeah, eventually I just started remembering what the process was to fix things when they broke. Another one of my friends told me to come work with him over at MSN, doing phone support for dial-up users, which was a little bit of fun. And from there, went to the Geek Squad, and then the Geek Squad irritated me, so I branched out on my own.
Doing tech support from a call center, from the support end, is not exactly the easiest thing in the world to begin with, but it can be very frustrating on both sides.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this wasn't too bad because, you know, my first computer that I purchased was a Dell, and that was, you know, 8 years ago or so, so the tech support was all here. Dell wasn't quite as large as they are now, and it was pretty easy to get through, and they were really friendly, and I could understand them, so it wasn't bad. It was just time-consuming.
You were working for the actual company, or were you working for an outsource?
For MSN, I was working from an outsource.
Mm-hmm.
We were the last call center in the United States taking calls from MSN users. Microsoft kept us around because by plane, we were within a couple of hours of their headquarters. We had a pretty good team. A lot of the KB articles revolving around Sasser and Blaster actually came out of the call center I was working at.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, how did you become interested in computers per se? You mentioned that you were mechanically inclined when you were younger. At what point did you pick computers as the way to go, so to speak?
Well, as far as the way to go, it probably didn't happen until between 4 or 5 years ago that I, and even then, I would say I was working with them, but it wasn't my planned career path. That changed after a while, and I realized that the computer repair, you know, I really enjoyed it. Despite all the faults that I had working over at the Geek Squad, the problems I had there, I enjoyed what I was doing. So I went from wanting to open up a little clothing boutique to working on computers. They provide a challenge for me.
So you opened up a clothing boutique first and then moved to computers from there?
I was trying to.
Oh.
That was my little dream of opening up a clothing boutique, kind of a gothic clothing thing, and you know, had all these ideas for it. And then I realized that my personality, I need to be challenged all the time, and computers will do that, whereas running a little clothing shop's not going to. I could get it to a certain point and there'd be success, but I wouldn't be learning anything new. Where with computers, you know, technology, it changes daily. Mm-hmm. And you never know what you're going to get into when you go to a client's home. It could be a virus you've never seen before, or a problem that you're banging your head against the wall. And it's always a challenge. There's always something to learn.
That's true. Being in computers is pretty much a male-dominated area. What is it like working in a field that is dominated by males?
Honestly, for me, it's never really been much of an issue. I've always been kind of a tomboy. So all throughout school, my best friends were guys. Now they're all guys. We all play video games. I've always been that tomboy kid that, the girl that had the BMX bike. So being in a male-dominated field, I wasn't at all uncomfortable. There's been a few times that when I was working over at MSN where I had a customer call and insist on speaking to a man who knew what he was doing. You know, they have that mindset. You know, I get a lot of surprised looks sometimes when I show up at customers' houses. Oh, you're a girl. But I also get a lot of comments that they think it's great that I'm doing this and I'm in a male-dominated field. And sometimes I think it works more to my advantage being a girl in the field like that. But I've never been uncomfortable with it, so.
Do you think that any of them treat you a little apprehensively when they find out that you're a female?
Sometimes I think so. I obviously get different treatments, like when I show up delivering a computer or something, or there's equipment needing to be moved, the guy will help me, whereas I think if I was a guy coming to the door,
that they wouldn't do that.
You know, And I'm not above letting them do it either, isn't it? You know, saves me a backache or something. But, and every now and then, today is a good example. I got a call on a classified ad, and I told him that I was, he's like, oh, you're the one coming out to do the job, or you're going to be the one coming out to do this? And I was like, yes. And then he started asking about my qualifications.
Mm.
I kind of got the impression that if I was a guy, or I said there was a guy coming out, he wouldn't be asking for those qualifications or what my experience was. But anymore, most of my work is still coming through OnForce. I have a good relationship with one of the stores here where they route all the work directly to me, and they talk me up. It's kind of nerve-wracking sometimes, but they talk me up to the customer before I ever show up to the customer's house.
Well, that always helps.
Oh, yeah, and that makes the customer, they knew that a girl was coming, and they have some confidence in me because the store has such confidence in me. So, I don't get too many shocked when I show up at the doorstep going, you're the one fixing my computer? and generally within a few minutes, I start digging into their computer and any apprehension that they might have had is gone because they realize that I can do the job. But in some ways, too, I think it hurt me when I went for my business loan. I was dealing with mostly older gentlemen and a few women that were, how to put it politely, but they weren't quite, they were mothers, they had careers, but they were careers in banking or something that wasn't so dominated by men, and the questions they were asking me were just pretty ridiculous at times.
Do you have any advice for any other ladies who are planning to get into the business or starting their own business as far as competing and as far as setting themselves up to operate effectively, safely, efficiently as a woman-owned business?
The only thing I can say is just have confidence in yourself so that when you go out there, no matter what the customer's throwing at you, you're confident in what you're doing. You can speak effectively to the job that you're trying to do at their house or their business that day. That's the biggest part of it, and not to get discouraged because, there are people out there that'll sit there and try and discourage you, but just take them with a grain of salt and go for it. Don't take no for an answer and use the fact that you're a woman to your advantage because I got on calls just because of that. I put in my ads and on my website, you know, a girl who knows what she's doing or something to that effect to let people know that I am a girl. And I get a lot of calls just because of that. Husband calls, we need our computer fixed, and my wife just feels more comfortable with a woman there.
Do you get any kind of sexist calls or anything that's really inappropriate? I'm sure it happens in the business.
Oh, it does. And, you know, that's why I just politely tell them that I'm a professional. And I'll make excuses. I'll tell people, oh, yeah, you know, sorry, I can't go out with you. I am married, even though I'm not. You know, and they'll ask me, well, where's your ring? And I'll be like, well, I don't wear jewelry because of the nature of what I do. If I'm opening up your computer, you don't want me wearing a wedding band. And I always make up something on the fly if I need to. You know, for the most part, I haven't had too many problems. Majority of the homes I end up in are families anyways. You know, or I end up in an office, so it's a whole different... They don't want to hit on me there just because they need to project a professional appearance. So for the most part, it hasn't even been an issue thus far. And I do live in Utah. It's a much more conservative state than others, so it can be... Yeah, you know, it works to my advantage in that way, you know.
Have you had any issues with other male IT pros, other peers that would see you as a female and say, well, you know, she's a girl, and will be a little bit condescending? Do you find that it's a problem?
So far, no. I mean, when I first started, I haven't really met too much of my competition here in the area. The other techs I've met have been places I worked, like Best Buy, where when I first started there, they were probably a little apprehensive of me, but at the same time, I had a lot to learn at that time. The support I had done had been my phone, so I knew my software pretty well, but when it came to the hardware, I wasn't so sure. And they weren't condescending about it, but the supervisor was. He was condescending to everybody, so I didn't take it personal. And then over at when I walked in there, they were just happy that a tech had walked into their store. And they, you know, hey, can we just route everything to you? What can we, you know, can we build a relationship? And their techs were really accepting of me right away. That, you know, I've gotten a few emails from other techs that have asked me for a job. Like, not yet. I've had it more. They've actually, a few have called and asked for advice from me, you know, or help on a computer issue. So I haven't found it too bad. I'm sure there are some out there, but I just haven't met them yet.
What do you think the future will be like for the ladies in IT? I mean, do you think there will be more or fewer getting in the industry in the future?
I think there will be more. I mean, we're already kind of seeing that trend with women getting into a lot of software programming and design. And you know, there's always articles that I read where game companies are looking for more women that are getting into it because they realize that women are an untapped market for gaming. That there are girls out there that like to play their video games, so they're thinking about, you know, well, we should have some women design these video games for the girls. So honestly, I think it's going to increase, and I think that'll be a good thing because a lot of times, it's a known fact, women think a lot differently than men. You know, I think we can bring something different to the field.
Well, I agree. Well, Cappy, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time.
No problem.
And feel free to call into the Force Field anytime.
No, thank you, Rick. You have a great night.
Thanks, you too. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May the Force Field be with you.